This is Chasing Wisdom, your source for conversation and serious ideas for those striving to become wiser leaders in business. Your host is Dr. Sam Serto. Sam is the Steinmetz Professor of Management in the Graduate School of Business at Rollins College in Winter Park, Florida. He also serves as a leader at Northland, a church distributed, located in Central Florida. Along with leaders from various fields, our goal is to provide practical wisdom for those navigating real-world business challenges. Welcome to this conversation about how to become a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Sam Serto, and you're listening to the Chasing Wisdom podcast. Here, leaders talk about business, Bible, and life to help all of us become wiser leaders. Today, our special guest is David Oakes. David is senior principal of a company called CESO, C-E-S-O. As you listen to David, you'll be benefiting from the ideas of an individual who started CESO in 1987 and since then has grown it into a web of companies with national presence, 9 offices, and over 200 employees. David is recording remotely from Dayton, Ohio. David, it's an honor to have you here in the studio today, remotely.
Thank you, Sam.
You know, we have a lot of different ways that we start podcasts, and I think I'm going to start this one in a unique way. And we have a feature in all of our podcasts called Sunday to Monday, and it basically has to do with what a business leader might hear on a Sunday and then be able to take on a Monday and use in a work circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'd like to start it with the verse that you submitted as really one of your favorite Bible verses. And the verse says that no one who puts a hand on the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. That's Luke 9:62.
Yes.
David, what's that mean to you?
Sam, I grew up in Wisconsin on a dairy farm, so it has connections to me as I was growing up. And then the verse, what it means to me is, as I got into business, it was important that I put my faith into work in the business world as well.
And this was kind of a guidepost for you in terms of moving it that way.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It's
all right.
A verse that I've had for a long, long time.
Terrific. And I think the reason that I wanted to start with that is that the theme of that verse in terms of looking forward, because if you start to look backwards, then the dirt is not tilled in the way that it needs to be. And it's kind of a guideline for leaders in a lot of different situations. And as we start to look forward then, let's talk a little bit about CESO. And tell us a bit about its starting. We'd like to give everybody an idea of what the company is and how it transformed into really 3 companies, I guess, or a web of companies. What's the story, David?
Back in Wisconsin, I went to college to become a civil engineer. So when I got to Dayton, Ohio, CESO was started as a civil engineering and a land surveying company, of which I'm also a land surveyor. And that company started back in 1987. It's about 30 years old. But in recent years, 2 additional companies sprang out of CESO to try to create a more diversified, sustainable organization. So there's a company, DDC, that's about 10 years old, and it was created to take advantage of design-build opportunities where CESO could be the design and DDC could be the build part of those projects.
Mm-hmm.
And DDC Management was started up 5 years ago, where we have did a lot of land development over the years from a design standpoint. And now DDC Management takes and puts investors with national home builders, and we manage, develop and manage subdivisions in multiple states and cities.
So kind of a one-stop shop for somebody that wants to be involved in construction.
Yes, actually, the tagline for CESO is creation to completion. It has a dual meaning, both in my Christian sphere and as well as in the business sphere, where we can do things from start to finish.
Terrific. And you have offices in Ohio, Pennsylvania, Michigan, West Virginia and Arizona as well. Is that correct?
Actually, Orlando, actually Florida, Arkansas is probably the one you're thinking of. And,
okay.
And then Orlando, Florida, which
right.
is where you're located.
That's right. And that's where we had lunch together.
Yes.
Okay, terrific. Anybody who wants to learn more about the story of the company, the website is full of good information. It's CESOINC.com. And I think it's a good place to sort of complement what David says today.
Yes.
Okay. And some of your clients, I mean, it's a really noteworthy list as I look at it. We're talking about Cracker Barrel, Outback, Walmart, IKEA, Valvoline, Best Buy, and on and on.
Yes.
And that's terrific. So everybody who's listening is trying to get an understanding of what you do, what your company does, and how your leadership might give them ideas they can glean from for how to become wiser in their own organizations. So I think that's a good background for the circumstance that you're in.
Yes.
And you describe yourself as a leader of people.
That's correct. At this time, I am.
At this time.
It hasn't been that way across the entire 30 years, but at this point, I think I've transitioned into a lot of that role.
So tell us about that transition.
Yes. So I got into business when I was really very young. I opened my own business. And at that time, it was just really a means for me to provide for my family and the families that were working with us. So it had a very high financial emphasis at that time. But over the years, that didn't float my boat over time. And what I intentionally attempted to do in recent years is incorporate my faith walk at work into the business.
So when you look at your evolution as a leader, probably most people are driven by similar kinds of needs, and especially in earlier years where people are raising families and mouths to feed and people to clothe, and finances and profit seem to be at the very top of one's time and energy. And then over time, there's often a change in the direction that you're talking about. Is it sort of a natural thing, do you think, David?
If you're open for change, it's a natural thing. But business owners have to understand that as they grow a business, that they have to get out of the day-to-day and get in more of a oversight role and start working on the business rather than in the business. And I went through great pains in order to do that, but it put me in a better place where I can now be more involved in globally thinking about how the business can go forward rather than being absorbed in the day-to-day issues.
Well, one of the things that we're very interested in this podcast series in terms of a theme is how you put business and Bible together. And that when I know that when you talk about your leadership of people, you talk about a vision and a mission and values, and you're so committed to the ideas in those three that you even have sort of a handout that looks sort of like a heart, almost a diamond to me, but there's a definite theme to the way you're trying to manage your people. Could you tell us a little bit about the vision, the mission, and values, and how they fit together? I think it's a wonderful way of really describing and representing the theme of Bible and business together.
In the last 10 years, I've been learning how to lead from the heart versus leading from the head or leading from the hand, which is the sort of the traditional business way of leading. And so in doing so, we've went and created a vision, mission, values for the company in doing so. And the vision that we have for the company is finding purpose through serving others. And we specifically earmark three sectors of people in order to do that. We serve the coworkers that work with us here in the company. We serve our clients, which is really important that we have relationships with clients in order that we can get work and repeat work. And then we specifically, it's an important aspect of the company to outreach into the community, and each of our offices has outreach opportunities available. And so with that, we've also created values that are in some ways prioritized in opposition to the traditional business sense, where sort of things like money and intellect and skill sets are kind of focused on ahead of other things. But in our company, we focus on trying to emulate Christ as much as possible in how we run our daily business, and then how we treat other people and how we respect people in their work-life balance. And then the profit should be a result of those kinds of things.
Terrific. So when you look at the vision, and what the word that pops out to me is serving, and it does have a spiritual meaning as well as perhaps an earthly meaning, but how does your faith and spirit come through in that word, David? It's kind of the foundation of the company and the other things that I see here.
It's not our human tendency to think of others before ourselves. So it takes a daily re-engagement of being in the Bible, in prayer, and trying to learn from Jesus's actions as to how we can take and emulate that forward.
Terrific. And as I think about the mission and the coworkers and the clients and the community, I know that in terms of clients and perhaps others, that listening actively is a big thrust of implementing this idea. Could you tell us what you mean by listening actively and how it fits into the serving mission?
Yes. So our clients, to serve our clients, we need to make sure that we listen and understand exactly what they're wanting us to do, because us engineers sometimes actually think we have the answer before the client, and that's not always the case. So we have to listen and make sure what the client actually needs. And in doing so, we hope to have clients that we then can create long-term relationships with, versus just doing a job and then having to go find another client. We'd much rather have a relationship-based client.
And when you think about even the coworker relationships, that same active listening is probably pretty valuable in that regard.
Yes, it is. And it's kind of that sort of the hierarchy of the company is pretty horizontal. In other words, the assistant that works at the front desk is just as important as the project manager that's leading a very important project. And we try to respect everyone across the entire company that way.
And when you focus on community, I know that in your materials, I see that one of the focuses is on loving others, loving people in the community. What do people in the organization interpret that message as?
So yes, if we're actually going to try to follow our vision of finding purpose through serving others, we've got to get out of just having those relationships that benefit us, like coworkers and clients, where if you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Whereas if we go out into the community, we go out not expecting anything in return. And just it gives us a real serving heart, and it allows us to find purpose through serving others without expecting anything in return.
Awesome. And again, for listeners, we're going through vision and then mission. And I'd like to talk a little bit now about values, kind of the support attitudes that enable the vision and the mission to move forward. Mm-hmm. And at the very top of the value chain, if you want to put it that way, or list, and you have these in order of importance.
Yes.
And the very first one is humility and Christ-likeness. So that when you're looking at vision and you're accomplishing mission, one of the values or underpinnings for doing that is being like Christ.
Yes.
Describe that, please.
Yeah, so in our mind, Christ-likeness and humility go hand in hand. That's our best word for us to sort of try to explain who Christ was and is. In that humility, lots of people think that that's sort of a meekness, but in essence, humility is courage under control is how we define that.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to emulate Christ, it was done pretty well in a secular book, a secular leadership book called Good to Great, where the level 5 leadership was discussed in that person having humility traits that they led from the heart.
I think as I look at these, all of these characteristics in your values, it goes through humility, trust, work-life balance, purposeful. And the last one is profit. In other words, money that you make as a value. And when you look at order of importance, profit is at the bottom. And
yes.
And how do you rationalize to people within your organization and others why profit is at the bottom, yet being like Christ is at the top?
So things like this humility spirit and trying to emulate Christ and having trust and loyalty and respect for the people that we work with. If we feel like if we do that to the best of our abilities, that the profit will be a result of us doing the right things. And it is goes back to our faith in that we're trusting that God will provide for us. And he understands that if we don't stay in business, then we can't do any of the other things that are more important.
And you know, it's all about relationships. And if you have a faith, the relationship with another is extremely important. If you don't have a faith, that same relationship is still important. And you build relationship through the values that are listed here. And would you agree with the fact that the values at the top of your chain are almost the means for accomplishing the value at the bottom, which is profit?
Yes. Daily, we have to sort of re-engage ourselves on those values that are not our tendency in order that the ones that come easily to us are then the profit thing is then a result of.
We're at the point now, I think, where unfortunately we're out of time. This goes by quickly, and this has been very laden with intense content, and I appreciate that. And I'd like to leave with what we call a pearl of wisdom, and that would be your idea or your thought that you would like somebody to retain based upon what we've seen and heard here, I've seen anyway in terms of materials and everybody else has heard. What would that pearl of wisdom be, David?
What I thought about there was that for those that work in business or even those that lead a business, to stop thinking about business and ministry as two separate things in their life, but think about how they can use their business as a ministry and allowing their faith to be holistically utilized through their entire life, not just in their family life or in their church life, but also in their business life.
So that if you thought about business and moving business forward in terms of success and without ministering to people in some way, and it doesn't have to be extreme ministry. It can just be relationships and kindness and the values you represent. If that's happening, then the likelihood of that business being successful is enhanced.
And actually, the last 10 years has sort of proved that out for us because I did not operate that way the first 20 years. But in the last 10 years, as I did have a trust in God and allow my faith to be more exemplified in business, that the business was successful without me really knowing why.
I'm sorry, David, but we are out of time at this point. For all of you, you know, this has been David Oakes and his valuable insights for becoming a wiser leader. You can connect with David with the email address. Let me just spell it for you. OAKES@CESOINC.com. Thanks to you listeners for tuning in. You can keep in contact with me on Facebook at chasing.wisdom or my website, chasewisdom.com. Until the next time, you know what I'm going to say. Put all of your energy into chasing. God bless.
You've been listening to Chasing Wisdom with host Dr. Sam Serto. We would love to hear from you regarding this podcast. You can reach us at northlandchurch.net/chasingwisdom. We will be here each Wednesday with a fresh look at being a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life. Want to reach out to Dr. Serto? Email him at sserto@rollins.edu.